Geico presents sharing versus oversharing. Today, Bridget Griffin shared a video of her daily yoga routine, two self-help articles, and her new blog called Build Your Inner Bridge with Bridge. Girl, your sharing has turned into oversharing. No worries, Bridge. Geico has some info worth sharing with your 7 blog followers, like how you could save money on your car insurance, update your policy, and report a claim just by visiting geico.com. How's that for building your inner bridge? Bridge, Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Welcome to the IM Radio Network, where noted authority coaches, authors, and speakers collaborate and bring to you the best in radio, TV, and live events worldwide. And now, the IM Radio Network proudly presents the Dr. Simone Show with your host, Dr. Simone Reves. Get ready to go. Interactive.
Well, hello, awesome friends. We welcome you all to the first debut show of the Dr. Simone Show and to the I Am Network, which is the interactive media network. My name is Jeffrey Miller. I am one of the founders of the I Am Network, and I'm here to introduce Dr. Simone today to her first show. And this is going to be fun. I'm going to stay on with her as a co-host, and we're going to go back and forth with some questions, and we're going to talk about some real great issues. As I say, things that Simone deals with in her practice as a past clinical psychologist. But introducing Simone is the fun part. Telling you a little bit about what we're doing, the IM Network is a group of noted authority coaches, authors, and speakers from all over the world. And we're growing as we speak. And this is one of many shows that will be broadcast on a regular basis by our platinum level member coaches and other coaches that will join with us, speakers, etc. So without further ado, I'd like to welcome Dr. Simone to her show. Hello, Simone.
Hi, Jeff, and hello to all the listeners. How am I?
Yes.
I am doing very well. Thank you.
Excellent.
How are you?
I am
fantastic.
How are
you doing?
Fantastic, thank you. Even better now that we're live and on air with the world.
Absolutely, on the IM Network. I love it.
Yes, we are proud to be on the IM Network. And folks, thanks again for coming on board and listening to our show today. This is going to be fun. There's going to be a lot of great information. You're going to get to learn about what it is that Dr. Simone coaches in and how she got to be where she is today, and all about the brain and books that she's written. We're even going to get into some hypnosis discussion further in the show. And we wanted to remind you that you can call in and ask a question. We won't be taking any calls for the first, next 10 minutes or so, but you can get lined up in the queue with our producer. My lovely wife, Emily Miller, is producing today. Thank you, Emily. And she will accept
Thanks,
your calls.
Emily.
And ask your name so we will know that you're there in queue, that you can ask a live question. This is a live broadcast. And, well, without, as I said, further ado, let's get to it, Simone. This is fantastic. I know you've been working in this arena for a long time. And
Careful.
Well, I have to say that, you know, I have the gray hairs to show it. Well, at least they used to be gray, come to think of it. But it's interesting. We learn what we live and live what we learn. And it allows us to, if we have a passion for something, it allows us to take and do that as a career. Sometimes it's the most difficult, crazy thing in the world because you say, how am I ever going to be successful at this? How will I ever earn enough money to pay the bills or whatever those questions may be? But in all good respect, we should all look at what that passion is, that we get up in the morning and we think about puts a smile on our face and said, yes, this is my gift. This is my contribution to the world. I'm able to be able to do it. And then it becomes not all about the earning the money. It becomes you do to give to others to help them on their mission to find their passion and to sort of what we would secure the ails, those things that have happened in our minds from youth and before, as they say. that have plagued, you know, those little debilitating beliefs and negative self-talk and life experience that kind of lingers in the unconsciousness of the brain. So the brain is an amazing thing. And as you know, I've studied it as well. And I am so impressed. First of all, the pleasure of knowing you and calling you friend. We both are in masterminds together. Here we are, both in the IM network as platinum partners together, and I find that just fascinating. But I think we'll get to know you is to get your audience to know you for your future shows as well. And you know, knowing that you've been worked and you have worked as a clinical psychologist, and now you are also a certified business and life coach, and also a brain coach, which is what we're going to talk about mostly. What drew you to these careers overall?
Well, you can see the similarity in all the careers involves working with other people and helping other people. And I have always been fascinated by other people. When I was very young, my parents would take us out to restaurants, and I would always inevitably get trouble leaning in my chair to the left and to the right, trying to listen to what everybody else was saying. And I would stare at other families, trying to watch what they were doing. And my parents would say, "Simone, stop it." And I would for about 5 seconds, and then I'd be back at it. So I have this maybe inborn fascination with other people. But the helping aspect came really from growing up with parents, and we spent much of our youth traveling around the world, which was a definite plus. But while doing so, I saw things, of course, of great beauty and wonder and just wonderful things. But I also saw a lot of disturbing things and poverty, illness, things of that nature. From that early on, I believe I really took up this idea that I had a purpose in life, which was to help other people live the best lives that they really could.
Wow.
So that's fantastic. That's what's really carried me through. That's been my passion throughout my life and throughout the majority of position, careers, et cetera, that I've done.
Wow. That's fantastic. I wanted to just take a break for a second and see if you could just double check your mic connection. There was a little bit of a breakup in part of your broadcast. Just make sure
and
that everything.
Unfortunately, that's happening with you too.
Oh, I don't know what that might be. Might be we're on the internet, so to speak. We're internet radio.
Yeah.
Let's hope that doesn't continue.
Yeah.
And that said, how long has it been since you actually were, you know, practiced as a clinical psychologist versus what you're doing now as a life coach, brain coach?
It's been about, I would say, 7 years since clinical psychology, which I loved doing that. My decision to change was because I wanted to be able to actually reach out to a wider audience, to more people, and to hopefully spread the knowledge that I have and inspiration to a wider audience, as I say. I do a lot of public speaking now, so I'm able to expand my reach. I write books, which I also did then. That helps me expand my reach. And I try to get my message out as many ways as I can.
Wow, that's great. I was just checking whether, as you were talking, I was just checking with our producer, Emily, to see if there's any callers in the queue yet. I guess there are not yet, but we're still early in the show, so that's cool.
Sure.
So That's amazing. Many people I know have done similar in the medical profession, have done similar. You know, get to a certain point in these what we call the status quo part of psychology or the medical doctor profession, and they've gone on to do something to extenuate it, which is really awesome. The part that you do, and I know in meeting you in person in Los Angeles some months ago when we first met, well, we talked a lot about the brain. We actually heard some people on stage in the event that we were at talk about different things about John Assaraf, for a perfect example. And those out in the audience heard of John Assaraf. He's an amazing man when it comes to the neuroscience of the brain. He's got some programs going on that are just phenomenal for anybody. And I highly recommend, if you don't know about John, and he was one of the stars of the movie The Secret, and The Secret was all about the laws that attract, so to speak, the laws of attraction. And John has gone on to do many, many other things, very successful entrepreneur. And we were both, as well as Emily, thrilled to be able to be in audience with John and get to talk with him personally afterwards about that, what he does, because Simone, you and I have a similarity in that, you know, we both are hypnotherapists. We both work with folks on a coaching level to help them understand what's going on in the brain. Psychology has always been one of those things that I never studied, so to speak, way back in my earlier career. I was a business person, but it's always amazed me how the mind works and why do we do what we do and why don't we do what we don't do, so to speak. But you have narrowed in on the brain. And
right.
It enters the picture at this point, so to speak. Why are you and why have you dedicated so much time and energy to the brain?
I've been studying the brain for over a decade now. And part of the reason I'm so interested in the brain has to do with my story, which I won't go into now, but in later episodes I'll talk about it. But basically, my brain saved my life. And I got involved with a brain expert at the time who was just decades ahead of his time in terms of his understanding of the brain and health. So we worked together, and it rubbed off on me. And so I've been studying the brain, and I'm just fascinated by it because it is, as most people call it, our control center. It is in charge so much of who we are and what we do. However, with recent discoveries, we're finding out that it's not just a control center. In fact, and this is what I love so much and want to spread the message so much to people, is that our minds are largely not only a product of the brain, but can change the brain itself. So we are not at the mercy of our brain, nor is it at the mercy of our minds. It's an interaction.
Mm-hmm.
And what has recently been discovered is, we talked about this yesterday, is the notion of neuroplasticity.
Right.
Now, the interest in the brain these days is just growing leaps and bounds. And I even read somewhere they called it the period of neuromania right now. So, you know, you go into grocery stores and you walk down the aisles and where there used to be pictures of J-Lo on the newspaper, now there's pictures of the brain. So it's quite a change.
Absolutely.
It's very popular. It's a popular topic. And part of that is because of the hardworking, driven researchers that are working together internationally, which is a big change. So people from all over the world are working together, and that greatly expedites our knowledge. The big contributor to what we know so much about the brain at this point, although there's much, much more to be discovered, is the development of technology. We have instruments now that we can use that look inside the brain, and we can see changes in the structure and functioning, the brain, different parts of the brain that are working, and so on. So that's what's really pushing our knowledge forward. It wasn't always the case that we knew a lot about the brain. Obviously, for thousands of years, we knew very little, and there were a lot of mysteries about the brain, and that's where the myth comes in. One of the myths held until recently was that after childhood development of the brain pretty much stayed the same until midlife when the rapid, inevitable decline happened.
Mm.
Those are both myths we know now. Firstly, with the children, our brains continue to grow and develop and we really produce new neurons and new pathways throughout our entire lives. And when I spoke earlier about the mind, we can use our minds to change our brains through neuroplasticity, and the hows and whys of doing so, we can talk about in a bit. But we are not held prisoner by our brains. They can and change and grow as a result of experiences, as a result of learning, as a result of decisions that we want to make changes. All of those things can contribute to growth and change within our brains.
That's fantastic. You know, part of what you said, much of what you said, you know, resonated with just recently a lot of the subject of the brain with neuroplasticity. And I'm going to ask you for another definition for that, because people may have heard the terminology, but to actually understand it sounds like you're talking, you know, neuro, which is the inner workings of the brain, the neural pathways, et cetera. But the plasticity, when you put the two words together with plasticity, what are they exactly saying there?
I'll give you a really simple way of looking at it. Just focus on the word plastic.
Right.
Our brains are plastic. Our brains are plastic, and they can change. And let me give you an example. Many of us, for various reasons we can talk about later, have a tendency to think very negatively about ourselves, primarily about the world around us, but really, we're really hard on ourselves. Now, I know you're never like that, Jeff, but
Of us. I won't tell you in my past life that I wasn't like that, however.
Okay. So we tend to think very negatively about ourselves. And I'll give you an example. Say I made a little mistake on something at work, and what immediately jumps to the forefront of my mind is, God, what an idiot. I'm so stupid.
Right.
And
many
times a day. Many people say that. And what happens with that is that we're just going over and over the same what are called neural pathways in our brain, the negative neural pathways in our brain, and making them stronger and stronger. We don't want that. What we want to do is to shift the whole balance in our brains. And by thinking more rational, positive thoughts, that actually creates new pathways, positive pathways in our brain. So positive thinking leads to new positive pathways in the brain, and those positive brain pathways tend to generate positive thinking. So it's a circular relationship. It's circular, cyclical.
Very,
does that
very
make
interesting.
Sense?
Yeah, absolutely. Folks, I hope that does to you as well. And I'm going to give a couple of thoughts about that as a strategic coach. You know, with NLP and hypnotherapy, having to learn about the brain has been a pleasure. It's something I never would have believed I wanted to understand, because I never thought I had to be quite honest with you. As an entrepreneur from a very young age and new businesses and being very successful, I also fell flat in my face a few times too. And I think those are the learning curves we all have to have in life. And they say none of it's a failure, because if you make a mistake and you've learned something from it, then there's no such thing as a failure. It's when you quit and you said, that's it, I'm not going any further, which is part of what you talked about, because the self-talk that people say to themselves can either the best thing in the world or the worst thing in the world, considering the brain. Let's call the brain the world. The worst thing you can do for yourself is have such a negative self-talk that you condemn yourself. I'm an idiot. I'm a jerk. I'm a this. I'm a that. Oh, I can't do anything right. Every time you say that, your mind is listening to you. It is repeating over and over and over again what you've said. So who do you become? You become what you think. And what you think you are is who you are. And it's who you'll portray yourself to other people, which is a very unfortunate thing, because that's not really who you are. These are patent conditions that you brought upon yourself. And people say, oh, wait a minute, what are you talking about? We brought it upon ourselves. I had this happen in my life. Yes, you did. But as Dr. Simona said, you can change it. You have the ability, the plasticity, you have the ability to change it. The most that people don't understand, I believe, Dr. Simona, is that they don't understand that they can, because they think about it. It isn't something that everybody normally walks around every day and thinks about, the brain. You think, well, I can't say this because my brain's going to do that. We don't correlate with it that way, because in an unconscious, or what's conferred as a subconscious state of mind, which is where all the action takes place. And, you know, one of the things that we talked about recently about the brain, which really fascinated me, I'll paint a picture. I love to coach and teach in metaphors, and I know, Dr. Simone, that you and I have talked about this one before, is that the frontal cortex of the brain, where your awakening stuff goes on, we call the conscious mind. Let's look at it from a picture point of view as the size of a U.S. quarter, a quarter dollar. And if you think of the size of that, that's the frontal cortex of the brain, the frontal focus of consciousness. Now, the rest of it, what we call subconscious or unconscious, is like a big, giant beach ball that you kick around the beach. And, folks, if you think about that, so all the stuff that supercomputer's going on in this mind of yours is the size of the beach ball, and the stuff that you say is consciousness is the size of a quarter dollar. You go, wow. That's massive. And how much of that do we really use? It's quite remarkable. It's remarkable when you think about it. So what amazes me is that people live their lives without a knowing. They don't know what they don't know, Dr. Simone. And that they look at themselves and go, I'm a failure. I just can't do any good. I'm in a rut all the time. Things happen bad to me. My car broke down. Oh, it happened again last week. And it's almost that if they could totally get the picture, paint a new picture of these neural pathways and change these thoughts and focuses around, as you said, that they could paint this new picture to say, I am a great person. I can do this.
Right. And what you're talking about is basically how I see my role is I'm here to help people understand that they can change their brains. And therefore their lives, their experiences, their happiness, their levels of success, everything. They're in charge. You know, before the brain was said to be the control center. However, we have other methods that we can use to control the brain as well. And those are our thoughts, our experiences, physical activities that we do. But literally, we can really design the lives we want by redesigning our brains. Now, the negative thoughts a lot of us have because of events that occurred when we were growing up and things like of that nature. However, there's another reason that we have negativity in our brains, and that is because of evolution. When our ancestors were roaming the earth, they were constantly subjected to life-threatening events. You know, theirs was not an easy life. And those ancestors who responded to potential threats and potentially harmful changes the most rapidly frequently with fight or flight response tended to survive. So they passed on their genes, and that's who we are today. We still have that tendency to react with fear to the unknown, to react to things which are not life-threatening as if they were life-threatening. I mean, come on, when somebody pulls in front of you in their car into your lane, it's not typically life-threatening, but we react with a total stress, fight or flight response in our bodies. So it does not have to be that way. We now know that we can change our thinking so we don't have to react that way. We can say, oh, that person was a jerk, instead of just losing it completely.
it envisions the massive amount of road rage going on in the cities, like when you get to LA. You know, I don't mean to pick on you, LA. We love you. But Boston's no different. Where I grew up and worked for many years, is just, you know, people in the rush hour traffic are so pent up with emotion of that's going on. They're late to get home. Something's happened. There's so many different things we can all think about what goes on in your mind in the course of a day that can cause you to be one way or the other. When you lose your cool, so that person cutting you off, your that patent condition that was part of evolution kicks into gear, that rage, and goes, screw you, and you
screw
know
you.
other hand gestures may happen, etc.
And
what does that do to a person? When you really think about what are you doing to yourself when you get to that point of rage, we've all been angry, let's face it, we're human. No one of us is perfect that we haven't been angry at some point, lost our temper. They even say it's good for you once in a while, but it isn't that good. because all it means is that you are releasing, which is the good part, you're getting it out, but unfortunately it gets out and hits somebody else. It's like the law of equal and opposite reaction, you know. There's always going to be a cause and effect, let's put it that way. You know, there was a cause and a reason that you got angry, and the effect is going to be felt by somebody else, unless you're off by yourself just being angry with yourself. And you're not.
Hey, Jeff, let's take this and look a little further, because I think people would find this interesting. The reason that we get angry about someone pulling in front of us in the car lane, the thoughts, those are what cause the reaction, right?
Right.
It's the automatic thoughts. And the automatic thoughts can be like for who this person is. But then we look more deeply at the thought. And it's about how dare he does that to me. He thinks he's better than I am. And you chase it down, and it gets down to this sense of, you know, he's trying to make me seem like I'm inferior. And that's what the rage comes from.
Very, very interesting point and true.
We've got to dig down to the deep thoughts. If we're going to start making changes in our thinking, we've got to figure out why we're doing certain things and feeling certain things. And the answer is, dig down deeply into your thinking, find your automatic thinking, and it's usually things like those negative thoughts, I'm a loser, I'm a failure, et cetera. Mm-hmm. And so that's what's got to be the target of our change. And to do that, we have to look at reality. We have to look at the thought, okay, I'm a loser. Well, we turn and ask ourselves and look in our memory banks, have I ever succeeded at anything in my life? Well, of course I've succeeded at something in my life. And so we switch the spotlight to that. We focus on the positives and the examples, and the negative thoughts get weaker and weaker and weaker. And the positives get stronger and stronger.
Now, I would love to get some callers on this one, Dr. Simone, because this is amazing. This subject is what everybody should be thinking about. And I'd really love for somebody to call in right now and say, hey, you know, when Dr. Simone just said that, it caused me to go to a point in my life of happiness where I was successful, that I felt glorified within myself, that I exceeded at this task. I don't care what it could be. The first time you learn to drive an automobile, or your wedding day, or something that you just, I always go back to flying because I've been a pilot for many, many years.
And I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's one of those things. I'm just plain crazy.
We knew that.
And you knew that. Yes, you knew that part. The fact that I physically am a pilot, a lot of people probably don't know, but here's the thing. I studied the art of flying for many years before I literally could afford to take those lessons. Mm-hmm. It became one of those things that I said, somehow, some way, I'm going to be able to afford it. I'm going to make this happen, but I have other priorities in life financially that have higher precedence, of course, you know, paying bills, going to work, you know, to earn that money. So I need to do something more. Well, eventually I did. And eventually I started taking those flight lessons. And it took me probably 3 years, because I only had little bits of money way back then, to do it. You know, that extra spending money that a lot of people might go and say, hey, I'm going to go away for the weekend. Well, I put it to flying. I put it towards those lessons, to set that plane and to hire that flight instructor to teach me what I needed to do. The fact that it took 3 years is because I did it piecemeal. I had to do it in bits and pieces, so that by the time I got back to another lesson, I had to have do half the previous lesson over, because I kind of had forgotten, so to speak. And when your wheels leave the ground, you're flying. You know, they actually say you're flying from the second you get behind the controls of an aircraft, because that's really what it is. You have to believe that. And right. It isn't that you're physically flying in the air, but you're physically commanding and controlling that aircraft and every aspect of its movement from the second you get behind and say, clear propeller, I'm turning her on, and away we go. But in 3 years' time, I finally did it. But I still remember when you said that, I went back to an accomplishment. I went back to a very positive state of mind, something that could overcome any anger I might feel, or despair, or discouragement, or something that might have happened. I go to that thought. I go to that happy place of flying, and that I overcame that. I also remember the fear factor. The first day, my instructor said, you got it. I'm getting out. Drop me off. And I thought, this is wonderful. I get out there on the runway, and I push the throttle forward. The next thing you know, I did everything right, and I'm in the air. And I'm about 500 feet, and all of a sudden, my legs started to shake with nervousness, because I looked over, I happened to look right, and I realized, oh, my gosh, that chubby flight instructor is not sitting next to me anymore. I'm all alone up here. It's all me. And then I had to talk to myself and say, you know, this is what you wanted to do. This is your moment. This is exactly what you've worked for 3+ years. This is why you've, you know, did things and fixed things and sold things to get extra money to be able to do this, to have this accomplishment in your life. And I still, to this day, and that's why I mention it, not to take all the time to talk about my joy of flying, but that is what I think about when you say, what is that one thing? But everybody I can imagine, I can't imagine that you don't have that feeling that you can go to, and everybody did when Dr. Simone said that. What is that big feeling of accomplishment? You can say, hey, I'm not a failure. I'm not a loser. I'm not, you know, I have a coach that says there's jerk magnets out there. You know, they attract jerks. Well, maybe because there are some jerks out there. But typically, if you believe you are and you act like you are, you will become that. Right. And what you're saying, Dr. Simone, is that, in fact, you don't have to believe that.
No.
You can change how you think, how you believe, what you say, and what you do to bring yourself about to this person that is not that person that you were. Because you never really were that person. It's conditioned habit. It's something you learned. And that brings me into a state of understanding. If we could go into this so folks understand a little more about when this may have happened in their lives. I mean, it happens every day because you live. You're a social creature. We all are, to a point where we mix it up with other people, and things happen as a result, whether it's when we were young, our parents, our families, the friends we meet in school, the bully down the road, whatever the case may be. These are all memories that get left in your unconsciousness, which are the same thing but a little bit different with all that our evolutionary stuff put in our brain, which is kind of interesting, you know, that flight or fear. Am I going to go out and hunt for food, or am I going to become the food?
Right.
You know, is the tiger going to get me, or are we going to get the tiger so we all eat at the village tonight, you know? But if you would talk about that, the children, you know, our youth, you know, from that infancy stage to that point, of what year is it that most people start to really form these habits in life?
Right. Well, let me talk about it from the perspective again of the brain and what goes on in the world around us, so that we do absorb negative thoughts like that.
Okay.
When we are very young, we may overhear things or mishear things or be told things that are not positive. About ourselves. And the thing is that until the age of about seven, our brains are primarily functioning with the theta brainwave frequency. And that frequency just absorbs everything. So if anybody out there knows kids, and of course most of you know kids or have seen kids, you know that they just absorb everything and they remember. They soak everything up like a sponge. So there's a reason for that now. You know it's because of what's going on in their brains, their brainwave frequency. So they pick up these thoughts about, I'm never going to amount to much, you know, if they hear something like that, or I'll never succeed. Nobody will ever like me, things of that nature. And at the same time, they lack the rational filter that the brain later develops, which can say, that is true about me or that is not true about me. So everything goes in and it goes right into, like what Jeff was talking about, into our unconscious mind. That's where it stays. Those negative thoughts, those negative core beliefs, and they stay stuck in the unconscious. And they make themselves known through things like symptoms, anxiety that you might feel, or depression, sadness, bad habits, things of that nature, can be often explained by the beliefs that are residing in the unconscious. And to put the unconscious, its power, into perspective, 95% of our behavior daily is determined by our unconscious rather than our conscious. So that shows us that obviously the conscious part of our brain is very important, but there's a lot of other things that are feeding into how we think, act, and feel. And
yes,
fortunately,
I'm sorry, I interrupted you.
Well, fortunately, there are ways of getting at those unconscious beliefs and working on them so that we can get relief from them and eliminate them. And those are the things that I'm going to be talking about in my shows that are upcoming, how we can change what's in our unconscious and how we can even change the automatic thoughts that are in our conscious, but that are really interfering with us leading the lives that we want and interfering with happiness and joy and love and success.
It's amazing. Absolutely amazing. Again, and folks, I don't know if you feel the amazement in it. I do. I work in it, not to the extent that Dr. Simone is, but as a coach and interventionist, I have to understand how people are thinking based on where they came from in their thinking. And that's what I do also, that you in order to help a person and guide them to an understanding, you have to know the why. Hypnotherapy is another thing we're going to get into a little bit about how that can help you immensely with that situation as well. But it's interesting you mentioned the sponge theory.
Yeah.
I like that. I mean, we're absorbers. At some point in our life, you know, the sponge kind of gets dried up. The mm-hmm. brain starts to lose its thought process, so to speak. And unfortunately, there's many reasons they say that happens, and that gets to the Alzheimer's dementia phase of life that a lot of people these days seem to be suffering for many reasons.
Right. Let me interject, Jeff, that a lot of that is not necessarily a given. And I mentioned earlier two myths about the brain, and the second one was that at midlife, our brains take that inevitable decline, rapid decline.
Yes.
I'm going to be talking in future shows about things that are preventive in nature, things
That's
that we
great.
Can do for our brains so that they don't inevitably decline. There's been even studies that show that we can regain some of the losses in memory and the losses getting really down to it of neurons and cells in our brain and in our gray matter that we can recoup some of the losses. So that's something that I'll be talking
that's
about
great.
And addressing
that's
too
great.
Because it's so important for so many people.
Folks, take note of that. These shows are going to be fantastic, and I won't be here with Dr. Simone on the bulk of them. Occasionally, I'll jump in as a guest, and I'll be honored to do so. This show is her show, and I will have mine as well, which we'll talk about at another time, as will our other members in the I Am Network Platinum Partner level. Take a minute break and talk to you about that real briefly. Shall you be interested in our network, the Interactive Media Network, the I Am Radio TV Network. It is fantastic. We've taken just about a year to build the network to a point of getting it launched. It's like anything that's fantastic that really is going to make a difference in people's lives. You just don't slap it together and throw it on the shelf. It takes time. It takes dedication. It takes study. It takes knowledge to get the pieces of the puzzle, so to speak, put together so that you've got the perfect picture. Realizing nothing's perfect, we're always a work in progress. But that said, Dr. Simone has come on board as a platinum level partner with us, and I'm thrilled again to have you with us, Dr. Simone.
Thank you.
We've got other great, great platinum partner members as well, actually worldwide, which is wonderful. We all have and work within our niche, as the rest of the world says. We say niche up here in the good old Northeast and U.S. And that said, if you would like more information about the IM Network, please reach out. Send us a message. You can go to us on Facebook, the IM Network. You can, there's a page there and also a link on that page that'll get you more information. You can fill out a little questionnaire about what you would like to know, your questions you may have, the levels of participation that we are offering, of which there are four, and I won't get into all the details of them, but the platinum level, there are only going to be 12 to 15 maximum coaches, authors, or speakers, or a combination thereof, in that level. Then there's a gold level, which there will be up to 50 allowed, and it's going to be by interview and application and levels of experience that you have as a coach, author, speaker, or a combination of, as we mentioned. So that's our little advertisement for the mid-break of the show. We've got about 17, 18 minutes left. Time flies when we're having fun. Dr. Simone, this has been absolutely fantastic, the content of what we're getting, so people get a good feel of what your show is going to be and why they're going to want to get in and why they want to want to pick up that phone and call you and ask questions, because everybody has them. Everybody's got something going on in their mind, which you call your life. We always say, oh, I got this going on in my life. Yes, because it's a combination of all that stuff that you are and everything that you're involved with in that life of yours, from the mind's eye, so to speak. But we've been talking amazing subjects. I keep using the word amazing. I can't help it. It's just, this is a, I just, the subject of the brain, and who would have ever thought years ago that I'd say that the thought of talking about the brain is amazing. It has become amazing in the world today as well, and there's so much interest in it. And also you've mentioned in the past, you know, a very interesting thing, which you call brain myths. What exactly does that mean?
Well, the brain myths were what I had mentioned before. The brain was very mysterious to us for so long, and it still remains the biggest mystery besides the universe. We're learning, and we know a lot about the brain, but there's so much more to know. It is so complex. The myths were, for example, that the brain stopped changing after childhood, and that there's the inevitable decline as we get older, which is not necessarily the case. And then there's that old myth that we just can't seem to get rid of, that we're only using 10% of our brain. Now, Jeff, I know that that's a myth. You know why?
Why?
Because I used 12% of my brain coming up with what I was going to talk about today.
Wow.
No, I'm kidding. We use our entire brains. Sorry to tell you, folks, there's no magical cures if you feel you're not up to par with your brains, except using them. and exercising them, and you will gain more abilities. But our brains are active all the time, and we're using them all the time. And as I mentioned before, much of the activity is in our unconscious, the unconscious part of our brains. The brain, the frontal part of the brain that Jeffrey was talking about, the prefrontal cortex, the frontal lobes, those are what we call the CEO of the brain, because they control all the very important things such as decision making, planning, problem solving, and they include creativity, attention, focus. I know a lot of people talk about focus these days and that they just can't pay attention and can't focus. And we know now that the average attention span is like, I think I was told a goldfish had a longer attention span than we have now, but it's about 7 seconds, which has continuously declined through time. So what do you think about focus and attention, Jeff?
Well, it's an amazing thing. When you focused intention is something that I don't know a lot about, but I do know this. When I have an intention, I call it my arrow of intention, and I have a little theory that I give my clients, if I might say it. If everybody would just take it, I love metaphors, because metaphors tell stories that you can see in your mind. You can actually feel yourself being in the story. So picture yourself with a bow and arrow. And I don't care if it doesn't matter. I don't care. It does not matter if you've ever shot a bow and arrow before. A lot of people have, but if you haven't, it's okay. But you can get the picture of how you put the arrow, and you draw back, and you take a picture. There's that in your mind. You're looking at that target out front. Now, what I suggest you do is you put all of your focused intentions of that you would like to see change in your life, or an outcome that you'd like to see, on the arrow. And bam, let it go and hit that target, and it hits the bullseye. It's happened. It's done. You have told yourself that, in fact, you focused on an intention that you want to happen. That's how I see it, Dr. Simone, and I try to coach that thought. And it does seem to help a lot of people. Is that where you're going with it? Is that how you look at it?
Yeah, I mean, that's right on. You know, now that you're mentioning intention, I'm thinking about things like the hypnosis that you mentioned earlier.
Oh, yes.
And the reason that a lot of people see what I do is called neurohypnosis.
Mm-hmm.
And you probably don't call it neurohypnosis. The only reason I do is that as a part of studying hypnosis, we also are looking at what's happening specifically in the brain. And also the fact that the word neuro was put before the word hypnosis in the days when the mind and body were thought of as separate things. There were the days when they were not considered to be really unified. And so they put the word neuro in front of hypnosis to make sure that people knew they were talking about the mind, that mind was involved and it wasn't just the body.
Right.
So hypnosis is, a lot of people come and want assistance with hypnosis and coaching because they have intentions, but they're not getting anywhere in terms of achieving them.
Correct.
Right. So why don't you share what you have to share about hypnosis, and I'll
Very good. Very good. Well, thank you for asking. I studied hypnosis. I have studied it in the last 5-6 years. Started off with a great coach, Dr. Steve Jones, and learned immense amounts of hypnosis on a level that helped me integrate it into my coaching. And the reason I did so is I've always been a guy who works with his hands. And you say, well, what's that have to do with your brain? Well, believe it or not, it's helped me immensely with my life of how to figure out my brain and why I've done things that I've done and not. That said, being a strategic interventionist, which is what exactly Tony Robbins is. The great Tony Robbins, many people have heard of him. When he gets on stage and speaks to people, that is called strategic intervention. That is what he is practicing. It was an expression that was put together by he and Dr. Chloe Madonis when they merged together and brought a training program together to teach people who would love to be those people that can help others be coaches. What we call life coaches, quite simply. And that's a broad spectrum of a title, and I won't get into a life coaching versus an interventionist or hypnotherapist or et cetera. However, knowing and wanting to know what was strategic interventionist, I dissected it. And what I found was that they had studied both the teachings of Dr. Milton Erickson. Dr. Milton Erickson was probably the most renowned hypnotherapist medical doctor I believe the world's ever seen. Now, that's my personal opinion.
No doubt.
But the man was just, he hands down is the guy and the reason there is what we call neuro-linguistic programming today, NLP. Grinder and I'm sorry, I'm forgetting the two names, and they won't like me for that. But anyway, Bandler, Dr. Richard Bandler and John Grinder, both formed NLP and have worked together in it for years and also have taught it to others and now individually for years, they both still practice. And a lot of hypnotherapists have also picked up on NLP. A lot of people on NLP have picked up on hypnotherapy. The difference is, and what I'm getting to, is that strategic interventionist is a culmination and a combination of just molding everything together like Jell-O. It's hypnotherapy, it's NLP, and it's understanding the brain. In simple terms. That said, being that coach and wanting to be that coach, I developed a keen sense of wanting to understand and be able to practice hypnotherapy. It first began something I did for me because it helped me to be able to self-hypnotize myself, to change my thought, focus my intentions on what I really want to achieve, and then the understanding of how I have to stay within that, what we call a paradigm. You have to stay there. You have to believe it. And if you don't believe it, you're not going to do it. It's like the New Year's resolution that you won't do because you don't believe you can. It helps you. Having a professional, as Dr. Simone is, as I am, and others that we know that are great in the trade, in the practice of hypnotherapy, hypnotists that work within the areas of the mind, is fantastic because it will help you in a very short period of time overcome these issues that you want to get rid of, these things. It does help you create those new neural pathways that will take you to that new thought process. I call it the shampoo and conditioner treatment. And my clients, my friends and fellow coaches kind of laugh when I say that. What do you mean shampoo and condition? Well, we've got to get into the brain. We've got to give it a shampooing and we've got to give it a conditioning. You've got to flip the switch. You've got to get to a different state of mind, which therefore those new neural pathways, those new thought processes will grow around that old stuff. And that old habit will just kind of never go away, but it kind of goes away, if you know what I mean. It kind of goes to the back of the bus. It doesn't need to be forefront of thought subconsciously, unconsciously anymore because you have put a new thought process in place. So hypnotherapy, I highly recommend if you're going through issues in life. And by the way, hypnotherapy is totally available and doable with qualified hypnotherapists on Skype, which is an amazing thing. A lot of people never believed you could. My present instructor from looking towards my master's in hypnotherapy does it all the time. And I was amazed that he does and has, because that's what I've done. And I just kind of did it on my own. It's just an amazing thing. But that said, that's my thought focus on it, Dr. Simone.
Yeah, that's great. I've done that over Skype as well, and it definitely does work. I think what's interesting about hypnosis is, as I mentioned earlier, about all those core beliefs, negative thoughts, et cetera, are trapped in our unconscious. Hypnosis is one of the ways of us getting down into the unconscious.
Absolutely.
And bringing forth that material and being able to look at it and sort through it and see what's rational and what's irrational and true and false and all of that. So it's very helpful in that sense. And in terms of the suggestions that one gives in hypnosis, for example, I have a lot of people that come and want to lose weight or want to stop smoking. Mm-hmm. And you give them, you know, suggestions that they're going to find the cigarette very unappealing and things of that nature. So the suggestions definitely have an impact on the brain. And there's a different brain activity level that's going on when people are in that suggestive state than in a regular brain state. And the same is true of hypnosis in general.
Right,
yeah.
Absolutely. It's interesting. Again, I want to focus on a metaphor, folks, if you'll think about this for a minute. You've lost something. You don't know where it is. So you walk into the room and you look at the room and it's full of clutter. And you go, wow. I don't know how I'm ever going to find this little item I'm looking for, this thing that I need to know, and I need to have it. I need to understand it. Where is it? Well, that clutter is everything that's in your brain. That room is your brain. And that little thing you're looking for is this. It could just be one little issue, something that plagued you from childhood, something that caused you to feel that you're not good enough, that you're not worthy. It could be a little combination of things that are strung together, but you are never going to find them with all the clutter in the room till you clean the room. Well, hypnosis is such that it gets through the clutter because it silences the frontal part of the brain, the consciousness, to a point of allowing the hypnotherapist to speak directly to your unconscious. And believe it or not, you are the one that allows that. You're the one that goes into the state of relaxation, or what we call trance. Trance is that place of restfulness where you are totally bodily relaxed. You don't feel anything. You allow that. You will never allow anything to happen in hypnosis that you wouldn't allow in consciousness. People need to understand that. People are afraid of that because they watch the stage hypnosis people or the street hypnosis people that make fun of people. And there's also all kinds of X-rated things going on where, you know, people go to a show and watch people dance around like silly people. You know, we won't get into it, but you're not going to dance around with a broom. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about therapeutic. We're talking about what's going to get in and help your mind understand and recondition, the shampoo and condition, that little thing that you'll never find without totally emptying the room. Well, you can't totally empty your brain. But hypnosis allows the hypnotist to speak with you and interject some thought patterns that'll speak directly to your subconscious, your unconsciousness, as we call it. Now, some people are afraid of that. Some people say, I don't want you getting in my head. You can't hypnotize me. You're right, I can't. Well, because I won't allow you? No, it isn't because you won't allow me. You hypnotize you based on what I have the tools to show you to do, to relax yourself enough, to open your mind up, to allow yourself to get into the subconscious. That's really what it is. We are the facilitators, hypnotists, hypnotherapists. We facilitate with trained therapeutic information with a toolbox that we know what to utilize, we know what to say at the right time to help you get in and find out exactly what it is. And once you have, it isn't so much about the why anymore, because you will change your thought focus.
Right.
So, boy, we're counting down quickly, Dr. Simone. We've got like a minute and 50 seconds left. Whoa! I can't believe this hour goes by so quickly when we're having so much fun. Folks, we hope you have too. You know, Dr. Simone is going to be doing two shows a month, two one-hour shows. I believe it's going to be on the Tuesday. I think she's going to stay on the schedule. If not, we'll notify you. Please go to our page on Facebook for the I Am Network on Facebook, and you will see a page that's going to have all the shows and upcoming information about coming on board as a partner if you wish. You can also join as a VIP member at a very, very low monthly rate, which is going to give you access to amazing discounts on programs. We are going to also be doing live events all over the world. Simone, myself, my wife, Emily, and the others in our network, Platinum Partners, Angela Barros from New Zealand, Katie Gramazon from Sudbury, Ontario, just to name a few of us. we are going to be traveling. We're going to be doing some amazing live events as well, and we will have top billing folks speaking with us as well as ourselves for a 2-day event each time we do it. Those are going to be minimum 4 times a year. There's so much more you will learn, and we're going to do another info show here pretty soon. We're going to be doing a summit. We're all writing a book, collaborating on a book together about the IM Network and who we are as coaches. We're just going to have a ball. It's going to be great. And we are so, so very thankful that you guys came on board with us today. And that said,
what I'd like to add is I'd like to add just that, you know, we're here because of our listeners. And
right.
I really want to hear what you all have to say. And I know Jeff does, too. So the phone is there for a purpose. And you all are very familiar with using the phone. So use it to give us a call and ask any questions or add any comments. Thanks.
Thanks, folks. And we thanks for being on air. And we are now off air. So we're in record mode, Dr. Simone. This will still be on our record, but we are physically off the airwaves. Thank you so very much for allowing myself the pleasure of being on your
show.
No,
it was great having you on. Thank you.
That was great. It was great being here. So thanks very much. Folks, do not forget, as you're listening to the replay of this, Dr. Simone's show will be twice a month, and we'll be doing other special shows as well. So as a result, Dr. Simone, thank you so very, very much. We appreciate it. And folks, thanks, and please don't hesitate to jump in and hear the future shows that we're all going to be coming out with. Thanks for being with us today. From the IM Network, I'm Jeffrey Miller, and Dr. Simone, thank you.
Dr. Simone Rabbit, thank you.
Thanks, folks. We'll see you later. Bye-bye.
GEICO presents sharing versus oversharing. Earlier this week, Claire Tippins shared a princess nickname generator, 3 pictures of her dog wearing a tutu, and 2 online quizzes, including, what candy is your dream castle made of? Claire, your sharing has tipped the sugar scale and turned into oversharing. But have no fear, princess. GEICO has something worth sharing with your internet kingdom, like how you could save hundreds on your car insurance just by visiting geico.com. No magic wand required. GEICO, 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.